Okay? I can't see that. All right, we are the saints. All right, so number one, we are the saints. I want you to turn around to the person next to you and just say, welcome to church, saint. Or if you know their name, okay? Okay, look, you know, Saint David. Saint David. Yeah, okay. We are the saints. Saint Peter's here. Yeah. All right. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. In fact, you'll find this in just about all of Paul's letters. It says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. We are the saints, right? Number two, we are God's family, right? We're part of God's family. You know, back in the old day, in many other places, you know, people in the church call each other brother and sister. Yeah? You guys don't do that, do we? It's just a little bit, no, it's not cool, right? But you know, we are a family, yeah? We're all part of a family. Would you agree? So you should, because it's in the Bible, right? If you don't, I need to pray for you later on. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. I'm not going to read all that. It basically says that we are part of God's family. We are the saints. We're part of God's family. Just before we move to the next slide, I'm going to give you the metaphor of what the church is. I'm going to give you, it's God's calling us. Yeah, there he is now, right now. He's given us a call, and we should answer the call, right? Okay. No. It's not that. I'm going to give you a metaphor for the church that you probably haven't seen before. You see, the church is all about olives. It's all about olives. Who likes olives? Hands up, all those who like olives. Great. Olives are fantastic. Who doesn't like olives? Okay. All right. Well, we've got a problem here. Maybe St. David and St. Peter can pray for you at the end of the service about that. Okay. All right. So, but it really is all about olives. And I'm going to give you a metaphor of the church. It's olives. Okay. Why? Why is it about olives? It just is. And I'm going to prove it. Because, you know, in my evangelical kind of background, you got to have proof texts. So I'm going to give you a few proof texts to tell you that it is, in fact, all about olives. All right, let's have a look at first. First of all, olives are a symbol of hope. Olives is a sign of. It doesn't say what a sign of. Okay, we've ran out of. The word was hope, okay? Olives are a sign of hope. If you look back in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 18, it actually says that, now this is what's going on, that the context is, right, we're in the ark, all right, and we're not sure, Noah's not sure whether it's the water's receded or not, sends out a dove. What does a dove come back with? Olive leaf. Olives are a sign of hope. What a great metaphor for the church. It's Saint Hybels who says, the church is the hope of the world. All right, that's his favorite little quote. Okay, next one. Olives are useful. Okay, in Exodus, here's an example where Exodus 35:28, you can write this down and check it later. They also brought spices and olive oil. And the olive oil had many uses. It was used for anointing oil. It was used to light up the lamps. And it was used for fragrant incense. Here's something that you can use for fuel. You can use it as an aftershave. And you can use it to anoint people. It's fantastic. Olive oil, right? Okay, so olives are useful. And I believe, I don't know about you, but I reckon the church is a useful thing in the world. Is that right? Yeah? Would you agree with that? That's why it's all about olives. For those of you who don't like olives, you don't know what you're missing. All right, next. Olives come in different varieties, shapes, and sizes, just like Christians do. I'm a Spanish olive myself, you know. But, you know, they come in big, Kalamata olives and all sorts. And some are pickled and some are stuffed. Exactly. You just stole my punchline. Anyway, that's okay. Move on. Okay, olives are a symbol of fruitfulness. I want you to, you know, today we don't use this as a kind of like, you know, when you're saying something nice to somebody, you wouldn't call them an olive shoot. Right? Yeah? But back in the day, right, it says, Psalms 128:3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Darling, you're a fruitful vine. Yeah, see, she's grateful for that. Okay. And your sons will be like olive shoots. Joshua, you're an olive shoot. Yes. Give him a hand. Excellent. Olive shoots everywhere. Okay. So it's a symbol of Old and New Testament. Okay. In the book of Zechariah, sort of in the middle of the Old Testament somewhere, Zechariah asked the angel about these olive trees on the right and the left. And he's really persistent with the angel. Again, he says to him, what are these two olive branches beside the golden pipes that pour out golden oil? He says, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord. So he said, these are the two who are the witnesses. That's what's missing there. So that go to all the world. So the olive trees are a symbol of both the Old Testament church and the New Testament church. You know, in fact, Romans picks up on this. In the New Testament, Paul says, if some of the branches have been broken off and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive tree. So you see, we are wild olive shoots. We're not just olive shoots. We're wild olive shoots. All right? And we've been grafted into the Old Testament church. We're kind of growing in there. Which means that the sap, the thing that gives nourishment to the original church, the blessings that are there in the Old Testament through Jesus apply to us. Is that great? All right. In Revelation, it talks again and picks up the same imagery about the two olive trees. So you see, it really is all about olives. You didn't know that, did you? It's all about olives. And if you don't like olives, well, that's okay. You know what I love about God? He created all of these things that we could eat. Right? You know, parsnips and what's something you don't like? Broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And he doesn't get offended if we don't like them. Isn't he good? Like, he created this great variety of stuff. Half of the stuff we don't really like. But he's still cool with that, you know? Whereas sometimes we in the church want everybody to like the same stuff we do. Okay, let's move on. So other observations I've come to sort of work out about olives. Number one, olives need to be prepared before they can be enjoyed. I just wonder who the first person was who picked up an olive from the tree, ate it and thought, my goodness, if I could just marinate this for a couple of weeks, it might taste all right. How did he? Because who's ever tried one straight off the tree? You just don't do that, do you? Yeah. So it's the same with Christians. You know, brand new Christians, right? They're wild olive shoots. They shoot off their mouth. They Bible bash. I think every Christian needs to be marinated before he goes out there and witnesses to his friends. Otherwise, he'll have none to witness to. All right? So, number one, olives need to be prepared. Number two, olive leaf is used as an antiseptic and as a healing agent. In fact, that reminds me of a text in Revelation. It says, and the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the world. Yeah. Okay. Next one is, olive oil is very precious. And you know why it's so precious? Because the olive has to be squeezed in order to give up its oil. And you know, that's just like Christians sometimes. Sometimes we've got to go through a little bit of pressure before the anointing can flow. Yeah? And olive oil is good for you. And I love that. You know, the other day I went to this church and I really wanted to get out of there. Because it was just not, it wasn't here. It just wasn't, how can I say it nicely? It was boring, okay? Really boring. And I just wanted to get out of there and scream and just go out. And I thought, and mothers drag their children. The children go, no, I don't want to go to church, Mom. And he goes, Mom says, no, it's good for you. It's olive oil, not cod liver oil, okay? I remember my mother used to give me cod liver oil. And the excuse was, it's good for you. The church is not castor oil, not cod liver oil, it's olive oil. Okay? It's good for you. And olive trees grow and keep on growing. You know, Jesus in Gethsemane was praying and he was among olive trees. Did you know that? It was actually an olive grove. And as he sweated drops of blood, those olive trees were silent witnesses to his pain. Those trees, if you go to Jerusalem today, gnarled and twisted, are still there. They were silent witnesses, and they're still growing. They still produce olives. They were silent witnesses to Jesus' pain and suffering 2,000 years ago. And that's the same with the church. The church just keeps growing. It never stops. The church will not be stopped. Huh? The church will not be stopped. And as I think of what's going on in the Derwent Valley today, it makes me realize the church will not be held back. We don't have to make excuses. We don't have to apologize. The church is incessant. It is unstoppable. It is a force to be reckoned with. You know, Matthew 16:18 says that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. You know, some people don't really get this text. What it's saying is that the church advancing towards the citadel of hell itself, the gates of hell will have to yield. It will advance. It will not retreat. It will go into the very center of hell. It will go into the very capital of Satan. It will bust the doors open. It will go through. It will take back what Satan stole, and it will own it for Jesus' sake. You see, the church will not stop. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to apologize about it. We don't have to give an apologetic over it. We just keep on moving. Because that's what churches do. It just keeps on growing, and the gates of hell will have to yield. And that's what that means. You know, Song of Solomon, which many people talk about, you know, it's a love story, but it's also an allegory of Christ and the church. And it says here, this beautiful text, it says, who is she that looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and as terrible as an army with banners? That's the church, folks. That's the church. That's the church advancing like an army with banners. You picture all the Braveheart movies you've seen, and you picture the army advancing forward, and nothing standing in the way. That is the church. That is this church. That is Energizer Church. That's what God has called us to. So I want to leave you with that. It's all about olives. It's all about olives. Thank you.
Well done. That was brilliant. Yeah, team, come and join me. Actually, just while they're coming, Mario, just come back. I think, yeah, that was a brilliant message. Fantastic. encouragement. But I just want, as we look forward to the Derwent Valley, but just tell us a little bit about, and I know you shared a little bit one night before, but just tell us, you know, why you're in the Derwent Valley and how you ended up getting connected with us as a church.
It's to do with the weakness. My love for Art Deco buildings. You see, I was a corporate trainer working in Melbourne, and I'd fly fairly regularly around Australia, and one of the places I'd visit was Hobart. Now, I'd seen this beautiful old Art Deco building in right there, which is the administrative building of the old Royal Derwent Hospital. And on the internet, everything looks good. So I fell in love with it, and I thought, I've got to see it. And then I said, I've got to buy it. And then once we bought it, we realized, well, we've got to be there, otherwise it'll keep on getting vandalized. So we kind of ended up there. But I think God had a bigger purpose than that.
Fantastic. Well, let's. I just want us to. I want us to pray for Mario and Helen, and just as we look.